Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Now look, I promise you, this is not psychobabble. Psychobabble has borrowed from, misinterpreted, misrepresented, and twisted this great book. Did you know the Bible is the original book of psychology? Psych, soul. There's nothing that gets into the study of the soul like the Word of God. And He deals with every aspect of man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why the Scripture tells us in James that sweet water and bitter water can't come out of the same fountain. So you can't use your tongue to praise God and kill somebody else with bad words. I used to say, some folks, you know, I'm speaking figuratively, but some folks need to come down to the altar and have their tongue cut out and have a new one sewn in. Some of us don't need heart transfusion. We need tongue transfusion. And stop saying the things about yourself, about others, and even about God. Because we're talking about keeping watch over the flock by night. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, let me tell you, accusations are going to get stronger. Deception is going to get stronger. Bad things being said about you from some part of society, whether it's in the church or out there in that ugly world, it's going to get stronger. It's going to get more violent. It's going to get more graphic. It's going to get more disgusting. And if we don't get some strength about us, if we don't learn to eat strong meat and get some spiritual toughness about us, if we don't stop living with such Christian passivity and we just barely making it by from service to service, you need to get the Word of God in you, because the enemy is not going to let up, and he's looking to snatch your soul out, and he will give you false sympathy. He will give you some trumped up compassion that's not real. He'll make it seem like, you know, I mean, he'll scoot up next to the bar stool by you and buy your drink for you, because he knows he wants you to go to hell with him. You don't need the sympathy of Satan. You need the compassion of the cross. Compassion changes people. All sympathy does is feel sorry for you. I don't need somebody feeling sorry for me. I need somebody to pray for me, and I need God to change me, and I need God to get my rotten, stinking attitudes back in an altar so that they don't steer me off or I swerve off into some ditch and get stranded in this world. Does that make sense? We're talking about keeping watch over the flock. And it's part of it is what I have to do for myself, but part of it is what I also receive from you. And I mean, and even coming through Pastor Appreciation Month, and I've had a chance to take a basket full of cards. And when I'm able to open a card and read some of the comments, it is incredible encouragement. How was that also? Is there, just raise your hand if you've ever received an encouraging text from somebody in the church. Now look around you. Keep your hand up. Look around you. Praise God. Now, isn't that better than going on Facebook, Instagram, or X? Maybe we need to X out certain things. And reading something that infuriates you? The spiritual network of the church will always be better than the social network. But it's just the fact that that social network can just absolutely mess with our minds. And there are times, I don't go on and do searches, but there's times that things just pop up. You know how these, you open up your Facebook page and I'm trying to get to comments I'm going to make or something I might upload, and there'll be something like right there, and I'll start to read it, and I promise you, I'll click the X up there on that tab and get rid of it and go back later. I'm like, I am not giving my mind to the mouth of the devil. Don't lose your mind for what comes out of the devil's mouth. But we do it. We do it, and then we can't think about anything else. Praise God. I had the enemy try to distract me today, and I was like, no, not doing it. I started quoting the Word, and I'm like, I'm not doing it. And so I'm telling you that nobody is exempt from the attack of the enemy, and nobody here is invincible to sin. And if you think you've conquered something, you better keep that thing under your foot. You better make sure you've put a stronghold of the grace and godliness of the Lord over that, because I promise you somewhere that devil's out there digging up bones right now. He's got a shovel in your graveyard and in your past. He's walked into your haunted house. He has found every hidden closet with every rattling skeleton. Am I telling the truth? But I showed up to church today because I got a shepherd. I got a Jesus. I got a deliverer. I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and I've got a family here that I know that cares about me, and I care about my family. And we get through thick and thin together, and we get through our ups and downs together, and sometimes life is a roller coaster ride, and you're not going, woo! You're one of those going, ah! Am I telling the truth? Now, he said, where we at? He said, they were so afraid. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I'm going to preach about that later, so I won't get on that. And then he said, for this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find, or no, he said, did I already say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the next verse. Powerful. Well, I could preach on that a while. But then he goes into the next one. He said, for this shall be the sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Where did they get all this revelation? In their field. Where did they get the visitation of heaven? In their field. Keeping watch. Keeping watch. What am I missing because I stopped keeping watch? Because I got distracted, or I didn't show up, or I missed a divine appointment? Where God could have touched me. God could have prescribed something for my pain. God could have set at liberty a bruise. God could have mended an area in my broken heart. But in that sense of keeping watch, look at all this. Look at these proclamations being made. Look at the revelation of what's being born in the city of David. And it had already happened. They were getting news about it. And then the next verse said, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So they didn't just sit on the word. They activated it. There's three things you got to understand about the word of God. Information given. Information received, information acted upon or confirmed. Given, received, confirmed. This is why James said, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. That word doer in the Greek is to activate. You can have a stick of dynamite, but that dynamite ain't doing nothing if you don't light the fuse. You have explosive power of faith in you, but your fuse is not lit when you let the world keep you in doubt, dread, despair, and unbelief. How many times have we heard a divine word from God, and then we just went, well, that was a good word. I heard it, but I didn't do anything with it. It was information heard, but it was not received. It's not received if you only hear it. It is received if you plan to act upon it. It can't just be a good point. It can't just be a good sermon. It can't just be, well, I did my religious act and I went to church. No, it's got to be information given, information received. Now, shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. We're not going to hesitate. We're not putting this thing off. I'm not procrastinating what I need to do right now. If God needs me to adjust something now, I'm not going to make another excuse. If God needs me to repent of something, I am not going to keep pointing my finger blame at everybody else. If God needs me to surrender and submit and listen to the counsel of God, then that's what I need to do. Or I can just go on in my stubbornness, having heard a word from God, but nothing ever coming of it. And then I come back somewhere to blame God for what he didn't do. And God's going to say, oh no, I gave you a word and told you what to do, but you didn't follow the instructions. The ingredients are still sitting on the counter. All the parts are still in the box. You didn't put anything together. I showed you how to do it. I gave you 1,000 YouTube videos to do it. You know what the scripture says then? And they came with haste. It wasn't casual. When you get a word from God, you can't be casual. You got to have conviction. I can show you the difference between somebody's got conviction about the word of God and somebody's just casual. You know, it's just kind of like the sloth. I'll get to it. No, the scripture teaches against slothfulness. It teaches against us being lethargic. It teaches against spiritual apathy. If anything, the Bible teaches us to stay awake and be awake and be sober-minded, especially the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, because you're keeping watch. They made haste. The Bible said, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Think about the simplicity of this. Exactly what the angel said about the sign is what they saw. Nothing necessarily added and nothing taken away. This is exactly what they saw. Sometimes God will just give you, this is how it is. And when you get there, this is what you'll find. And when you get there and find it, you're going to be so increased in your faith just by the simplicity that it's exactly what God said it was. Now, Theta showed up, and there was a golden crib and 14 Praetorian guards around it and satin sheets and silk pillows, huh? And a 200 band member orchestra playing with a symphony. They'd have been like, no, this is not what God said. Looks good, but this ain't what he said. He said we'd find a babe in a very humble place. He wasn't going to be at the top of a king's staircase. He was going to be down there in an animal stable. And the Bible said, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, I could preach 5 hours on that right there. We are concerned about everything else, but can I tell you, we need to be concerned about this child, because this child is the Savior of the world. He didn't come into the world as a Caesar. He came in as a Savior. That's why he chose humility, not a high palace, not a castle on a hill, not surrounded by 1,000 Praetorian guards. No, there's that donkey that Mary rode in was just stomping his feet somewhere, foot, hoof, back there in the background. And it was a pungent odor and a surrounding of animals. I mean, this was not a glorious place in this cave, in this stable. They couldn't even get a hotel room at Motel 6 because they didn't leave the light on for them. There was no room for them in the inn. Now, look at these shepherds. These are shepherds. These are not public speakers. They were not given to public stages. But, oh my, when they saw the simplicity of what had been told them, this is the king. This is the Savior of the world. A little old peasant girl and a carpenter with calloused hands. Wow. We got to go tell somebody. Shepherds. They found as many as they could to tell. And it all started. This beautiful experience all started because they were watching. Don't miss the sequence of divine events in your life because you leave your field. You hear what I'm saying? Keep watch. Because if you keep watch in your field, you'll get a visitation from the Lord. You'll get clear instructions from the Lord. And when you show up where you're supposed to show up, you're going to see exactly what he said you would see. Does that make sense? It does for me. Because even as a pastor sometimes, I get caught up in the complexities and the profundities and you know, God, we need, I need 35 fiery winged angels to come in here and do something. And sometimes it's just the Lord saying, if you just get them to believe my word, they got more power than the angels do. You have more power in you than the angels. He's not living in the angels. He uses the angels as ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. He has never dwelled in an angel. He has used angels. There are, you know, theophany forms of God in the Old Testament without getting into that deep theology. But they've never been purchased with blood. They were not created in his image as you were created in his image. He wants to use us. He wants to reveal himself through us. And then the scripture says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things told them, that were told them by the shepherds. Oh, that word wonder there is a Greek word that will find itself at least 12 times throughout the book of Luke. It is one of the most used Greek words that he will use for amazed, wonder, marvel. And I may touch on that if not this weekend, possibly next weekend, because there are powerful revelations in the places where in the book of Luke they marveled. This is one of those moments when the people that heard what the shepherds had to say, whatever busyness they were in, no matter what negative part of life they might have been living in, at that moment, wonder stepped in. Wonder at the word, at the things the shepherds were saying. If you'll pay attention to the shepherd, you could leave amazed at what God could do. But you got to keep watch. And you got to keep watching the night in Jesus' name. I hope you've enjoyed this live recording. And what I want to encourage you today is to keep watch in three areas. I want you to keep watch over your own soul. The Bible talks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a certain severity of our faith, and there is also a sobriety to our faith. We need to take serious our salvation, and we also need to stay sober-minded, because 2 Thessalonians teaches us that there's a day of delusion coming. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us that there are those that are drunk in the night. So we cannot be intoxicated with entertainment over the evangelism of our own soul. We cannot be so drunken by the things of the world and overwhelmed by the prospects or prosperity of the world that we lose sight of the most important things, and that is that we have to watch and pray. We have to keep watch over our souls. And secondly, you got to keep watch over your sensitivity, because you want to be able to hear the slightest whisper of his majesty. You want to be able to catch the hints of his holiness, the glimpses of his glory, the very mere moments when he may be walking in the room and others may not sense it or feel it, but you can, because you have a sensitivity to the Spirit, because you are Spirit-led. But cynicism, disappointments, things that have snuck up on you through time and been either tragic or traumatic to your own emotional well-being, and all of a sudden it's easy to let those things harden you, to let those things numb you to the Word of God, to let those things anesthetize you, if you will, to the things that are most important to you. So you got to keep guard. You got to keep watch, not only over your soul, but you got to keep watch over your sensitivity. It may seem a little bit redundant, but you have to keep watch over your own sight, because without a vision, people perish. And sometimes you begin to follow the wrong voices when you don't see things clearly, or if you get distracted by looking at the wrong things. I mean, there's so much trouble going on around us in this world. There are defiant political expressions. There are deceptive religious voices. There are ample wolves in sheep's clothing. There are plenty of false teachers to go around, and they have just enough twist of truth in their brew of witchery, if you will, that it can be very, very persuasive. But we have to stay persuaded of the things of God. We have to stay persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We have to believe that the most important part of our journey is walking with him every day, staying sensitive to his word, staying coachable with his word. So we can't just want the inspiration of the Spirit or to be entertained by the power and the presence of the Lord, but we have to have the instructions of righteousness. We have to have a set of beliefs. We have to have a doctrine that builds the road that we walk, that keeps us on a path of righteousness for his name's sake.
The Bible tells us in Galatians 2 and 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now think about that. You and I are incentivized to keep watch over our own souls, our sensitivity, and our own sight to make sure we keep a pure vision. We're incentivized and motivated to do that because we have a relationship with God. It's not just a religious mobilization. It is not just some sterile environment where we get a list of rules and we try to stay within boundaries and live those, but we have an up-close and personal experience and encounter with the Almighty God. And when you have that encounter with God, when you have that deep relationship with God, it motivates you to want to manifest what has been manifested to you. He manifested love to us. It was his love that saved us. He gave himself for us. His sacrifice was demanded. It was required. But he also gave it with love. That was God manifested in the flesh. And in his flesh, he showed love. He showed love to people that society had rejected, like the woman at the well in John 4, like the 10 lepers that everybody else screamed and scurried away from. But he drew close and was able to speak a word, not just of encouragement, but of miraculous curing and healing. See, that's what the Savior was. He was one that loved us and gave his life for us. And so when you are incentivized by the right thing, the inspiration of the Spirit and the instruction of his word, then in the balance of those two things, you can continue to walk without collapsing or fainting or tripping or leaning too far to the left or to the right, but with balance, you walk, putting one foot in front of the other and realizing that in this hour of so much confusion and so much Antichrist culture that is being built up preceding an Antichrist kingdom, that you and I must keep watch. We must, in some regard, be a shepherd over our souls and a shepherd toward others that we love. Ultimately, Jesus is our great shepherd. He's a shepherd that leads us in beside the still waters. He's a shepherd that leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so I pray today that you are encouraged, that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're hearing, no matter how many times you may be distracted by the wrong thing, that you'll always come back to center and a concentrated focus on the Word of God and to keep watch in Jesus' name.
Just a little more of trouble, yeah. In this low and simple state, then we'll enter heaven's portal, yeah. Sweeping through the pearly gate. We're almost there, folks. After a while, dark clouds will pass over, and we'll shout hallelujah. After a while, after a while, it'll all be over. After a while, the sun will shine. Oh, after a while, dark clouds gonna pass over. We're gonna shout. After a while, it's gonna be over every trial. The sun's gonna shine. After a while, the clouds will pass while, dark clouds will pass over, and we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Aren't you glad every trial, every trouble, hallelujah after a while, dark clouds will pass over, and we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Is gonna shine. We'll pass over and we'll shine. Hallelujah.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.